Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's a new experience.
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality, spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers, baby.
Reality, spirituality.
Oh, now we get real.
Get real.
Okay, everybody, I don't know if the show is live. You know what? I don't know why for the last probably 2 months I've had technical difficulties with logging in. I mean, it's every Sunday. But anyway, if the show is live, I am here. Oh, there we go. Now the whole show just came up. Whew. All right, so we are live. Okay, here we go. Let's start the show.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality, spirituality.
It's a new experience.
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality, spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality, spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some answers.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. Thank you so much for being here with me. Oh, my goodness. Even through the technical difficulties, thank you so much for hanging in there. Again, you can call in and speak with me live. Area code 646-564-9619. Area code 646-564-9619. My name is Rebecca Norrington, and I am a self-proclaimed happiness specialist. And this show has been live for 6 years. It started back in August sometime 6 years ago, and we're here in 2016, and this show has evolved just like I have evolved. And it's really, I have to say, I'm not even, not even the same person as I was 2 weeks ago, but in reality, that's what this life is about, changing and growing and evolving. You know, my son and I used to go on vacations every year when he was younger, when I can drag him on a vacation with me. And one trip, I believe it was 1998, and we went to New York, and we, of course, went all the way up on the World Trade Center. We went all the way up one of the towers, up to the towers, and at that time there was an hold on just a second. Uh-oh, hold on. Well, would you like to call into the show? Because the show is live.
Oh. No, I just called in the morning.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right, bye.
Okay, bye. Oh, geez, Louise. It's live radio. Okay, so where was I? Oh, so we're on the top of the World Trade, and you can actually go outside. And I don't know if you remember, but on one of the towers, there were these two really tall, looks like antennas. They were white and red antennas sticking up, really, really tall. But anyway, so from that height, I'll never forget, I would look down, and you can see small planes traveling underneath me. I could look down and see a plane underneath me. The view from on top of the World Trade Center was, it is undescribable, or is it indescribable? Whatever word is correct, that's what it was. And I just remember it was a clear day, and it was breathtaking, for lack of another word. It was unreal. And I couldn't get over how high, you know, even to see, I looked down on the Brooklyn Bridge. So remembering that, it's the same with life. The higher you get, the more, the higher, when I'm talking about higher, I mean in elevation, in consciousness. The more awareness you have, the more enlightenment, the more that you see through the universe's eyes. In other words, the more you are universal, you connect to your universal, your consciousness energy, as opposed to this human stuff that's going on out there, you know, the grief, the sadness, the resentment, the, oh gosh, the world is in a horrible shape, and you know, all of that. That's the man-made stuff. The more you connect with the spiritual side, the more you'll be able to see. The more you'll be able to see that everything that is happening is really in perfect, perfect order. I mean everything. Whether you like it, whether you want it to happen or not. And that's one of the lessons that, oh my gosh, took me decades to finally settle in. And when I say settle in, I mean settle in and accept. It's part of who I am now. I don't even care about what I, you know what, I don't even, don't tell anybody. I don't even care what's going on. Because it's the universe's plan. So I'm all in trusting. I'm all in trusting and surrendering. Finally, after years and years of kicking and screaming and wanting things to be different, wanting anything to be different than it was. So when I say looking out over the on top of the World Trade Center, it's the same with everyday life. It's like you get to another stage, and the only way you get to another stage or a higher level or a place where you can see a bigger picture, that as opposed to just a small, narrow picture, the more you practice trusting and the more you practice surrendering, the easier it will be when life happens and these things pop up. Trust, surrender just becomes a way of life. And not even worrying or caring about, well, what does this mean or how does this look and this isn't exactly the way I planned it or what I want and why are we taking this detour? Well, all detours, I'm okay with it, whatever detour you want to give me now. I don't know how the heck I got on that topic, but what I want to say is it's really about practicing over a period of time. Now, if you've listened to the show, you know that I teach classes on happiness. It's actually a year and a half now, and we're in our summer session, and each season is a new session, and with each session brings a new group of people. Now, some people have returned, but this the summer session is a brand new crop of people, with maybe with a couple of people returning. And, but with each new crop of individuals comes unique and just perfect stories, everyday stories that all of us can relate to. All of us can relate to living in the past and not being able to break through it, or not being able to make that shift, or not being able to let go of something or someone that really did us wrong or a big injustice. And I want to say that it's a really hard story to listen to. It's a difficult story because, well, listen, if you're me, when you hear stories about children and horrible things happening to children, you're automatically you're already touched, you're already moved, you're already all into and go into protection mode. And so a woman, and she's shared it in the class, and she's open to sharing it, and the reason why she's open to sharing it is because she wants to feel a different way. She wants to feel different. So a little bit of her background. Just very briefly, and not really the background, but just what happened to her, because the topic of today's show is forgiving the unforgivable. And I don't know if there's anything more unforgivable than abusing emotionally and physically, abusing for years and years and years a child. And so this woman in the class told the story that actually she wrote it out in her homework, and then she was open to telling the story in the class, that her father abused her physically and emotionally for decades. And she, at this point in her life, and I'm going to give you, she's 72 years old, and she's enrolling in my class, and she's enrolling in the class, The Importance of Happiness. She's 72 years old. And through all of those years, she said while she was younger, I guess, you know, the abuse continued, but when she found out that her father hated fat people, she began to gain weight, she began to eat, and she became morbidly obese. And she's telling the story, morbidly obese, because she knew her father hated fat people, and that protected her from her father. Now, come to find out, as she's telling the story, she's saying, because one of the women in the class was saying how she would be happier. You know, people are talking about why they're so unhappy, and they're talking about all of these external things. Well, they don't have enough money, or their marriage isn't working, or they're overweight. So this one woman in class said she's 30 pounds overweight, and that's the reason why she's unhappy. And my dear a student raised her hand, and she says, I was morbidly obese. I had gastric bypass surgery. I lost over 165 pounds, and I'm still unhappy. So it's never about these things that we think are making us unhappy. And so I'm looking at her, and I said, so we're the thing is, I shared with her about forgiveness and how the ability to forgive someone, and not necessarily to say that they did anything, and this is going to sound crazy, there was any mistakes, because we know that we've chosen this life, we've chosen this journey, we've chosen these circumstances, we've signed off on it. I mean, if you're into the teachings of Abraham, we've signed off on it, and you're here to just grow and expand. But so, To be able to let it go. She's 72, still blaming and still having venom. I mean, if you listen to her speak, it's obvious venom for her father. And she even added that he lived to be 100. And she also said, which just really threw me off, is that she worked for him. She worked in his company. She actually ran his company until he died. She ran his company. She also said that she's been in therapy for years, over 10 years, more than one therapy, but she has not been able to forgive this person. And she called him vile. She called him a psychopath. And so my dear audience, my dear reality, spirituality, radio audience, now I've got to come up with how to assist her making a shift. Now, I already know that if she's ready to shift, she's going to shift. And if she's not, she's not. But the universe, this is what I tried. I tried showing the Green River serial killer videotape that's on YouTube, you know, the one about forgiveness. It's only about 2 minutes. But this man that murdered 40, 50, 60 women, and the only reason the only way he was touched is when somebody forgave him. I mean, he wasn't even touched when these people were screaming at him and saying, you burn in hell, you animal. But the only way he was moved is when somebody gave him love and forgave him. So, you know, showing that video and trying to explain the power of forgiveness, not to these other people, but to you. So I've been trying everything, my dear audience, with this wonderful woman to shift. And you know the other interesting thing? I asked her, too. I said, you have this venom for your father, but there's no venom for your mother. But anyway, I digress. Let me get to this forgiving the unforgivable. And it was while I was reading her response to some of the homework, one of the questions was give us labels of your father, and can you think of something good about him? And she says, I can't have nothing good. So this woman is stuck. And quite frankly, you're either living in free, you're either free or you're in bondage. If you're not able to forgive someone else for any kind of slight, even if they didn't call you or they forgot your birthday or they didn't do something that they promised, even that slight, to be able to get over it, all of that is forgiveness, and able to get over it in a second. So these are the questions that I posed to this woman in class just a few days ago on Thursday. And I have to say that the universe gave me these questions. This did not come out of anything that I thought of or created. These questions that I asked my dear student came directly from the universe. Trust me, audience. I couldn't be this deep. This is dumb deep stuff. Okay, here we go. And I wrote them out because I didn't want to forget. So let me just get the questions. So one of the things I asked her was, can I ask you these questions in public? Again, we were in a setting of students. You know, there are other people in the class. And so I always ask, well, I don't always ask, but I did ask this time if I could share with the students. And so she said yes. So I feel very comfortable sharing with you, my dear audience, and then also with her. So the question was, here again, she is living in bondage, does not have the ability to forget and forgive this father. Oh, darn it, and I forgot one more quick point, really quick. When this woman in the class is turning in her homework, she also makes mention of her daughters. And she makes mention that neither one of her daughters get along. And she says, in fact, one of her daughters blames her for all of the troubles that she's having in her life. Okay, so you follow me? You see, the student blames her father for all of the bad feelings and this being unhappy in life, and her own daughter blames her. So here we go with patterns. So one of the things that we know that this woman taught her children is how to, number one, blame other people for how you are feeling forever. And the other thing is how not to forgive and to forgive and let go, and how to live in bondage. So that's what she's teaching her daughters now, how to live in bondage by not being able to forgive. Okay, so here's the question. Again, if you want to call in and speak with me live, the number is area code 646-564-9619. Press 1 if you want to say speak to me in the if you're in the queue and want to say hello, area code 646-564-9619. Okay, these are the questions that I asked the student. So she's not able to forgive, and she, I'm telling you, it's just so much venom in her voice. And listen, totally justified. Don't think that I'm not totally justified. Are you kidding me? Yes, justified. So the question is that I asked her is, do you think that there is anybody on this planet, anybody in the world, that would have gone through the same thing that you went through? Oh, by the way, not only did her father physically and emotionally abuse her, but she stated that on two separate occasions, he threatened to kill her. And once it was said in front of family members, and another time he said he should have killed her when he had the chance. So this man was, there is the background. That's more of the background. I forgot to mention that. So the question was, do you think there is somebody on this planet that with the same experience, the same things that you just went through, would they be able to forgive? And would they be able to be free of these memories? And would they be able to be free in their behavior? In other words, what happened in the past has no effect within your behavior in the present and in your future. So do you think that there's one person on the planet? I know you can't forgive him. I know you're not able to do it. I know you still have this hatred and this venom, and I understand that. But do you think there's somebody else in the whole world that would be able to forgive and be free? And my audience, honestly, in the beginning, she danced around the question, danced, and I always come back. And, you know, sometimes I'm so used to being a hard ball, what did they call it, fastball, right down the middle hitter. But I have to say that this one, it wasn't easy for me to just hit those fastballs right between her eyes, because quite frankly, I can feel, without even getting too deep, but I can feel all of the pain. I can feel it, and I can be affected by that, her pain also. I can feel it. So it wasn't easy for me to hit her with fastballs, but I did. And then so she danced around it, and I said, please answer either yes or no. Is there one person, at least one person? And finally she said yes. And then I asked her, do you want to get to a place where you are living in freedom and you do want to let go? And she says, yes. And then I asked her this, and I said, I don't want you to answer this question, but I want you to think about it. What benefit are you getting holding on to all of this hatred? There's got to be something that you're getting now. I mean, he's been dead for 10 years. You know, all of this time you've been in all of this air, you know, still holding on, still having all of this venom. What benefit are you getting from that? I said, and don't answer that. And my dear audience, that wasn't the hardest question. And then I told her, I says, you know, I have a message for you. And this message is from your father. Now, this message was given to me to give to her. And that's what I told her. This message is from your father. And so now I'm her father speaking to her. And I say, I have a question for you. Are you like me? And she looked at me and she said, I'm not sure. And I said, and again, I am the father. Remember that, audience. I am speaking as the father. This vile person that did all of these things to her and put her in the state and gave her this life of, if you want, quote, misery. And I said, I want to know if you're like me. Because if anybody, again, I'm the father, if anybody did to me, treated me the way I treated you for all of these decades, if anybody did that to me, I would hate them forever. I would never forgive them, and I would hate them forever. I'd want them to burn in hell. That's what I'd want. I'd want them to be tortured, and I want them to burn in hell. I would never forgive them. Are you like me? And then I told her, I said, don't think about it for a minute. I said, don't think about it. But just, I said, don't answer, but just think about it for a minute. And then I went on as her father. I said, I wasn't sure if you were like me. I believed that you weren't, but I wasn't sure if you were like me. That's why I challenged you. That's why I tested you. I knew you were a better person than me, but I wasn't sure. 100%. I thought you were a better person than me. Remember, audience, remember what I've been saying forever. What does the humpback man want more than anything else? What does the humpback man want more than anything else in the world? Some people say to get rid of his hump. No, the humpback man wants you to feel just like he feels. So her father, I'm telling her father wants her to feel just as bad. I mean, if you can imagine being that mean and hateful and despicable and psychopath and all of that to a child, you have to be in a lot of pain yourself. So the question to her was, are you like him? And she looked at me and she said, I've never thought about it like that before. In a way, I am like him. I was verbally abusive to my daughters when they were younger. I yelled and I screamed at them and belittled them. So this is the point. I looked at her and I said, no, you're not like him. You may have acted because you didn't know any better, or you were programmed to. Remember, we were programmed to be unhappy. We're programmed to be unhappy. I said, you're not like him. You might have been programmed to think that if someone does these things to you, you never let it go. You never let it go. But you're not like him. And now you have that knowledge that you're not. And now we can start practicing. and we can start being who we really are. And now you can be the example to your daughters that can't let go and can't forgive and can't get along. Now you can be the teacher to them. Now you can teach them how to live free as opposed to living in bondage. Now you can teach them how to overcome and to be and forgive and let go of the most vile, because it's not for them. It's not for him. It's for you. And it's never too late to shift and to be free. Can you forgive the unforgivable? If you want to be free, you have no other option. You have no other choice. And it's not all on you. Let me say this, my dear audience, trust me. Just have the intention. Put it on your agenda. Let the universe know you give up and you want to let go of this. You want to let go. You don't want to hold on to anything that's going to keep you bound and keep you from being free in this world. You want your behavior to be a reflection of this moment and not past moments. Can you forgive the unforgivable? The answer is always you. I have to say that I have been, it seems like the last few years, the universe has given me more people to just put in my path to trip me up. And the funny thing is that the tripping up, or the quote, pretend tripping up. I'll give you a perfect example, because I know she doesn't listen to the show. One of my aerobic coordinators. Oh my gosh, this poor woman really can't stand me, because I just listen. I've been teaching a fitness classes for 35 years, and I'm in the gym. I'm out of the gym, and I love teaching, and I'm very responsible, but I made a couple of weeks ago, I put in a sub notice late. So I asked for a sub on Monday, and I asked for it on a Friday night, and I should have asked for it by Thursday, okay? So this is the second time I've did it. And Monday morning, I get an email. No, I actually, first I got a call. And so she calls me, and I'm on conference, and I mean, it's in the middle of the day, so I'm you know, got my 9 to 5. I'm working. Rebecca, I need to have a conference call with you. Your behavior is becoming out of control, and possible termination. And I'm thinking, huh? I've only been working in the same spot for 7 years, never a problem. But all of a sudden, and there's you know, only because I'm not. One of the kids, and I don't just jump, and I'm doing my job. I'm not doing this jumping when they snap. And so the call and the why did you wait until the last minute, and you know the rules and you know the policy, and the vice president of operations was in, and the class wasn't covered, and I had to scramble. Now, my dear audience, I could have said 100 things, like the class only has 3 people at 5:45 in the morning. I knew the 2 of the people were on vacation. I could have, but I said, yes, you're right. I received a letter in the mail, you know, formal. You know it's formal when they put something in your file, that further behavior one more time of not letting us know prior to the proper time. And I was at fault, of course. I didn't remember that we're supposed to let everybody know by Thursday. I thought Friday was fine for Monday sub. But anyway, I digress. So I'm saying now I get a letter, now a letter that I have to sign and agree of, with my behavior. But this is my point. Even though this letter is going in my file and I can sign it or I can't sign it, I don't have any bad feelings or ill will feelings or, you know, this woman is out to get me or she's mean or she's picking on me, anything. Because if I did, then I'm taking away, subtracting from my own happiness. Then I'm subtracting from my peace if I'm thinking that they did something that's out of line. No, quite frankly, the universe just wanted to know if I would resist her behavior or I would resist a formal letter in my file. And quite frankly, I'm not resisting anything anymore. Universe, whatever you want to bring to me, okay. I might have to adjust after a minute or two. Trust me, I've done a lot of adjusting lately. But I'm not holding any grudges. I'm moving on from the reprimand, from the letter, from, trust me, people, there's always something. No, I'm good. With that, I want to take about 5 minutes to talk about a friend of mine who just died last Sunday. And when I say friend, it's a woman that I've known for about 20 years, and she's a fellow instructor, except for she didn't teach fitness or low impact or high impact or weight training classes. She taught a specialty class. I'm feeling her now. She taught belly dancing, and her name was Joanne. And she was the most gorgeous. I mean, you would watch her and you would get hypnotized. I could watch her dance for hours. She was that good. And she had a grace and a beauty and an air about her and a quiet. You know how I'm a little bit loud and, you know, the voice is loud. She's just the opposite, very soft and very gentle. And just her spirit was just easy and just, oh, it was just so easy and quiet. And she danced at my 50th birthday party. It was a few years ago. Maybe about 6 years ago, I started teaching at other gyms. So we've lost touch. I mean, I haven't seen her, but I consider her just a beautiful, beautiful spirit. So anyway, last Sunday, and I haven't had a few shows. Yes, I know I haven't been off the air for a couple of weeks. It's just been there's a lot of things, and I haven't been inspired. But anyway, last Sunday, I was told by a student that she was in hospice. And I was in shock. I didn't even know that she was sick. Well, it turned out that at the beginning of the year, she found out she had stomach cancer, went through chemo, came out of chemo, a couple strokes, now hospitalized in July, hospice. They took her off of water and the food. That was last Sunday, and I went to visit her. And I have to say that when I saw her, I was in shock. I hadn't seen her in years, and it reminded me of my father when he was in hospice, when he went through hospice, and they, you know, the people look like they're skeletons, they're down to just bones, and she wasn't able to speak, and she wasn't able to open her eyes. She was just in a state, but the nurse said that she could hear, and there were other people in the room, and I was just quiet. When I first saw her, I cried. I was in shock just by her, the way she looked, and I snapped out of it because one of the things that I'm conscious of is that I'm there for that person. I'm there for them. I'm there visiting them. Yes, they're dying, but I'm there to visit them. What can I bring for them? It's not about me. It's about what energy am I bringing them. And I really, really just wanted to bring her light, energy, and love, and just that's what I wanted to bring her. But it took me a couple of minutes to regroup and breathe and get into that. And finally, when a couple people left the room and it was just me and her, I actually asked them. I wanted to be alone. And I just thanked her for everything that she brought into the world and into my life, all of the beauty. And then I told her that because her family kept saying that it was that she was holding on for something, holding on. And I told her it was okay to go. I said, it's okay. If you're inspired to go, if you're ready, it's okay. And I was feeling a little bit lighter, and I grabbed a hold of one of her feet, and I proceeded to do one of my signature things that I do when people aren't feeling well. It usually makes them smile, but who knows? Anyway, I grabbed her foot, and I did the this little piggy went to market, and this little piggy stayed home, and this little piggy had roast beef, and this little piggy had none, and this little piggy cried wee, wee, wee all the way home. I don't know if that was five toes. I did five toes. And I was looking at her when I was doing it, and I cried a little bit too. And she smiled. She smiled. And I was able to leave. And I found out that she died later that day. So I've been dedicating my classes all week to Joanne, and I wanted to dedicate the show to Joanne. You know, honestly, all of us, each of us that's listening, has a responsibility. You want this world to be better, you be better. You want to uplift the world, you uplift. You want this world to be more peaceful, then you be more peaceful. It's really about being that change, you know, being the change that you want to see in the world. Really be the change, not just talk about it. Whew. All right, you've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday when I'm inspired at 7 a.m. You can go to my website at RebeccaNorrington.com. That's Rebecca Norrington, R-E-B-E-C-C-A. NORRINGTN.com. You can email me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. And if you've enjoyed the show, and I know that you have, maybe, kind of, a little bit, you can go to Facebook and like Reality Spirituality's Facebook page. I want you to remember who you are, my dear audience. You are a physical extension of the universe. You're always changing. You're always growing. Love is patient and love is kind. Be patient and be kind to yourself. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. It's all about the journey. Talk to you next week. You've been listening to Reality Spirituality. Love you.
Yeah, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality, spirituality.
It's the newest spirit.
Reality, spirituality.
keep your ears open for this one, man. Baby. On that